time this morning? How many of you talked to him already this morning? You know he's alive? Do you appreciate being able to talk to your Lord? What a privilege it is to be back in the house of God. We had church here last night. Brother Ben just felt like he owned the place, didn't he? But we're so glad. If I asked him this morning, I said, did you feel welcome? Did you feel at home? He said, ain't never felt no more welcome in my life. And we appreciate that. We appreciate our brother and his wife being here with us in the service. We're going to be looking forward to what he has, the Lord has prepared for us today through our brother. And I believe it's going to be good. Ain't never got nothing bad, have we? Reach around, shake hands with somebody. Give them a nice smile, a good friendly handshake. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. Play it, boys. Sing it one more time with all your heart. Oh yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify that this life within me cries. I know my Redeemer. Look at our prayer request. Brother King's going to come this morning. I ask him to come and lead us to the Lord again in prayer. He may have something else on his heart he'd like to share with you, so whatever that would be. We want to certainly say it's good to see Sister Donna Orndorff back in the service after surgery. Sister Donna, God bless you. Glad to have you back in the house of the Lord. Sister Monica Cox sends this in to please pray for my cousin, Robert Boyette. I hope I got that name close to right. He was in a motorcycle accident, lots of internal bleeding, punctured lungs, busted intestine, broken ribs. He is on life support. Please pray for God's hand of mercy. So we want to remember that need as we pray today. I want to pray for Justin Nelson, my nephew. He's recovering from a concussion. Sister Sarah Carroll sends that in this morning. Sister Clara wants us to remember Bradley Arnett, my 13-year-old neighbor is in the hospital with staph infection. He has had two surgeries this week on his hip joint to remove fluid and infection. His family has asked for our church to pray, so we certainly want to pray for that need this morning. Sister Linda Jablonski says she wants to thank the Lord for healing her last night. She got sick before the service. Some of the brothers prayed for her, and the Lord came on the scene and healed her, and she wants to thank the Lord for that. I want to pray for Sister Clara Moore. She's not feeling well this morning, so let's pray for that need. Michelle Swafford sends this in for Josh Luna. They took him off life support. He is holding his own. And his wife, Rachel, she had her child on Tuesday. The baby was a little girl named Penelope Luna. She is facing kidney surgery. Her kidney was not formed right, so we certainly want to pray for that family. The Lord would be mindful of them. Sister Mary Lewis from Ohio, you know, they're trying their best to make this way, to move here. She's fighting pneumonia all week in the hospital, has trouble breathing. Ask for the church to pray for her. Is in expectation for a complete healing. So we want to pray for the Lewis family. Just some precious, precious folks. We love them. I want to pray for Sister Susan Olive. She's been sick for over 3 weeks, so let's pray for that need today. I want to pray for the Roberts family. They do not attend our assembly, but call and ask that we would pray for a serious sickness in their home. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. And then this, I want to continue to remember Brother Junior Davis in prayer. He is in surgery right now, while our service is going on. So we certainly want to pray for our brother that the Lord would just be with him and that family, that God would just be mindful of them. Brother King, God bless you. We love our brother, don't we? Amen. And Sister King said to remember her on this coming Tuesday. She's going to be going for a stress test. So let's just pray that all would be well in her favor. Brother King, God bless you. We love you this morning, buddy. Here's the prayer request. God bless you, buddy.
When my daughter was 18 years old, we had just come to the message, and we were going to Pentecostal churches, but when they found out what we believed, they didn't want nothing to do with us. They didn't love the message at all. And the young people that Judy was acquainted with, they were worldly and not living for God, going to church, but not really living for God. And I come home from work one day, and my wife said, "Honey," said, "you need to go talk to Judy. She's crying." So I went in the room and I said, "Judy, honey," I said, "I know what's wrong with you." I said, "You're 18 years old. You're wanting a boyfriend. You're wanting to meet somebody." I said, "And the children you're with, they're not living for God." She said, "I know it, Daddy." I said, "I promise you one thing. If you will retain your Christian testimony," I said, "God's got somebody for you." 1 week later, she met Junior Davis. And we introduced the message to him. He went right out to the river that night, wanting to be baptized. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he's been a real jewel of a husband. And now he's in surgery and Satan's trying to take him away from her. But I believe that God's bigger than the devil, don't you? Amen. And we want to remember all these other requests too. Father, as we bow our heads before you, bow our hearts, Lord, we come to thee. And we are, yes, we're in desperation, Lord. But there's a peace, deep settled peace down in our heart, knowing that you're still on the throne, Lord. And we pray that you will, with your super intelligence, you know all about every need that's here this morning, all these requests, Lord. And we just commit them into your hand and pray, dear Father, that you will take account of each and every one of them, that you will visit, pay a personal visit to each one of these needs, Lord, and that you will touch those that are in need of healing, of salvation, Father, brokenhearted, whatever the problem is. We don't know. We can't even remember all of them, but you do, Lord. And we commit them into your hands, dear Father, and pray that you'll just give an account of each one, Lord, and we'll have testimonies, Father, of how you come on the scene and touch the hearts and lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Brother Lewis said to take about 4 or 5 minutes and say something. And I would like to say that after I come to the Lord and started on my life journey, there was one thing, even before I met Brother Branham, before we come to message, there's one thing that I could see that I felt like was needed, and that was that divine love. So I made a little poem of my life journey from the valley of decision through the hills of wrongs made right. I started on my journey and I traveled day and night across the wide extended plain. Ever learning was the name. I found a faith. I crossed the line. My good works I left behind. I saw a sign, he took my place. There I learned to sing, amazing grace. Perseverance, long endurance, names to remember well. I learned a lesson in a place called others I must tell. I journeyed through the shadow land where the light was very dim. And in a land of sorrows, there I learned to walk with him. By the streams of peace and joy, I rested for a while. For the road through child correction was a long and lonely mile. And from a place of constant resting, he leads me on to final testing. Sighing, crying, daily dying, names along the way. The journey's onward, upward. There's no place to stop or stay. But ever with me in my dreams is a land of rushing mountain streams. So daily walking in the light, someday I will scale that utmost height. That lofty plateau shall be mine. It's a mountain crest called Love Divine.
Amen. He can remember stuff about as good as I can. Appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. Ushers, come at this time. Let's receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service today, I pray God will just minister to them in a wonderful, special way. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Brother John, come and be getting us a song ready while we sing this congregational song. I go to the rock. Aren't you glad you've got a rock you can stand on this morning? I go to the rock of my salvation.
Oh, Amen. The wife and I were listening to a preacher on the radio the other day, and he was explaining how we don't need signs and miracles. In fact, it's wrong to look for those. Apparently, when Jesus said the works that, you know, those that follow me shall do greater works, he's talking about those in the room, or maybe those in the first century. And so apparently his preaching was that which is perfect has come, and no more need for that other stuff. And I thought, you just go on thinking that. But aren't you glad he's still working today? I've been signed, I've been sealed, my soul has been delivered, I'm a written epistle read of all men. Jesus came down and he wrote a love letter, then he stamped my heart, all my love's addressed to him. He dipped his pen into my heart, and he wrote, I love you on every page. When he envelops me in his arms, I know my postage is already paid. I've been signed, I've been sealed, my soul has been delivered. I'm a written epistle read of all men. Jesus came down and he wrote a love letter, then he stamped my heart, all my love's addressed to him. Some people keep their letter in a shoebox in the closet, but I like to keep mine posted up on public display. I'm a walking, talking Instagram, and I don't care who knows I am. A love letter to the Lamb, come read me today. I've been signed, I've been sealed, my soul has been delivered. I'm a written epistle read of all men. Jesus came down and he wrote a love letter, then he stamped my heart, all my love's addressed to him. One day they'll notify you of a change in my address, but God has told his angels to handle with care. I don't have to worry about first class delivery. In the twinkling of an eye, he's gonna send me by air. I've been signed, I've been sealed, my soul has been delivered. I'm a written epistle read of all men. Jesus came down and he wrote a love letter, then he stamped my heart, all my love's addressed to him. Love's addressed to him. Help me now. Love's addressed to him. You sing this. Love's addressed to him. Keep going. Love's addressed to him. All my love, send it to Jesus. All my love, send it to Jesus. No, not rain, nor snow, nor dark of night, nor traffic jams, the dogs that bite. You keep me from the love of God, for I have read his holy word. A letter sent not just for me, but one for all the bride to see. So brother, take this little note, and oh, it was for you he wrote the letter. Jesus wrote a love letter.
Amen. John, God bless you. Let's stand this morning. Brother Ben is going to be coming in just a second. Bring us the word of the Lord. He and his wife are going to be singing for us. Enjoyed their singing last night, didn't we? Amen. Let's sing a little chorus together. I'm amazed that you love me. His love is so amazing, isn't it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody turn your frown upside down. Oh, you look a lot better smiling, don't you, Brother Terry? Praise the Lord.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm so amazed how you care.
update on Brother Junior Davis. He's out of surgery. He has cancer on his lymph nodes. We'll start chemo in 3 to 4 weeks. That's a molehill to the Lord. That's not even a molehill to the Lord. We just committed all unto the Savior, right? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm so
glad that you've been amazed by him today. Amen. Boy, if the Lord didn't give us a time last night, I don't know what we had. I tell you, I really love it when the feeling of him come down like that and just shake the building. Look like the walls were breathing last night. You know? I just love it. I want to read something to you before we get started. I promised you this quote yesterday. Spoken word is original seed, paragraph 251. When you realize that God has revealed to you the truth of a thing, there's nothing in the world going to defeat you in it. That's all. You are absolutely undefeatable. That's bride food, y'all. Rest of the world has no idea what we're even talking about. But you, I, we've been privileged. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been privileged. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. I'm going to have my wife come sing this morning with us. And I'd like to say, you know, what a privilege it is to be with you. I always count this to be such a tremendous honor. I just love you folks so much and love Brother Donnie, and I sure appreciate him for inviting us to come and be with you again. And I tell you, in all the years I've preached, these little services that I've been able to be with you has been the highlight of my preaching. And I can't even begin to tell you how nice it feels to sit in this church and sit in the place with you like this and to feel the presence of people who really love God with all of their hearts. That means a lot to me. Because in my travels around different parts of the world, different parts of the country, I meet so many people that claim the same message that you and I believe that really don't love Jesus. They love being a part of a church. They love the messenger. They love doctrine. They love catchphrases. They love terminology. But they're really not in love with him. And I'm going to tell you something. The only way we're getting out of here is if we fall in love with him. Amen. I want to love you more today than I did yesterday. I want to love him more the next day than I did the day before. And the next, huh? I want to love him more and more and more. You say, why? Because he first loved me. It's just that simple. It don't have to be no more complicated than that. He first loved me, and I'm thankful that he did. Because let's be honest, okay? We didn't love ourselves too well. Even after we've been born again, we still don't love ourselves all that much. It's what do they say, a love-hate relationship, something like that. There's parts of yourself you just think is the greatest in the world, and there's parts of yourself you despise. But you know what I love about him? He looked on the good, he looked on the bad, and it didn't stagger him a bit. Amen. He loved us anyways. Praise the Lord. Are you happy to see Sister Samantha today? Amen. She does good singing. I like to hear her sing. I say she's my favorite singer. I asked her this morning what she wanted to do, and she gave me this song. We've been using this for a little bit, and I'd like to say it's an old song, the Circuit Rider Preacher, you know. But you understand, we believe in ministry. And the men that paved the road to get us here where we are today, you know, that's what we need to this hour. We need people to come on and pick that same anointing and come on over. So I thought I would just use this and dedicate this to preachers today.
Thank you. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus.
God walks the dark hills to guide my footsteps. He walks everywhere by night and by day. He walks in silence on down the highway. God walks the dark hills to show me the way.
Come on, sing it out.
He walks in silence on down the highway.
I'm glad he does tonight.
God walks the dark hills to show me the way.
I'm so glad he does, aren't you? Oh my, sing it again.
God walks in the storm.
Don't rush that thing, sir.
Through the rain and the sunshine. He walks on the billows and on through glimmering light. Then he helps us walk up on mountain so high, cross rivers through valleys. God walks the dark hills because he loves you.
Somebody raise your hand, shout glory.
He walks the dark hills.
Let's stand again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad he does, aren't you? Amen. Okay, I sure will. Brother Lou wanted me to mention, Brother Yance has invited me to preach at his church tonight, so I want to make that announcement. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Last night I was speaking to you on your expectation. How many feels like your expectation's been healed today? Yeah. Now, last night was expectation. This morning, I'm going to speak to you on preparation. Preparation during the delay. Matthew 24, 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, now notice, not from his lips now, but from his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of. So from a day to an hour, honing down, coming closer each time. Now, if you'll read this portion of scripture a little bit later and take it in the book of Luke, you'll find out his portion is cast over with the hypocrites, which means this man had his name on the book of life, had the opportunity, like Judas, to be saved, but because of his attitude and the delay, his name was struck off the book of life. Amen. Let me read to you again from Questions and Answers. Brother Ram says, we're just to wait on the coming of the Lord. Just wait. Keep your lamps trimmed, all filled full of oil. Pray up every hour, not every day, every hour. Jesus said day and then hour. Just keep ready. Be ready. I know this is a miracle for message people. I know these next two words are a higher achievement than most people will ever get in their life. Be sweet. Lord have mercy. Now friends, we got the greatest truth ever struck the earth, and we got some of the most cantankerous people that ever lived too. You would think this truth would make people more happy than what it is. Turn their frown upside down, they don't even know what a smile is, you know. Some can do it, Brother Louis. Some ain't got the ability at all. But this message should produce a joy in our hearts. Amen. He sings the song, we're watching for the coming of the glad millennial day when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. My heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Brother Bram says these words, that's it. That is the hope of the church this hour. Amen. Let's pray together. While your heads are bowed today, if you'd like to be remembered in prayer, some special need, just let it be known by the lifting of your hand. My hand's up too. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for unmerited, unmovable mercy. We thank you for the grace that you've laid into our hearts as your children. Lord, as I stand here before your people, I believe myself to be completely helpless. But I'm asking that you would come today, take my mouth, take my thoughts, take my body, and use it in a way that could be a blessing to the people here today. May the Holy Spirit, may you minister it and through your word and through the power and the unction of inspiration. May you open their hearts that they may receive what is being said today. We thank you, Father, for your great presence in the church already as we felt it this morning. And we're asking that whatever way you want to move, if you want to shout us, we're ready to shout. If you want us to cry, we're ready to cry. If you want to cut us, we're open, Lord, that you can correct us. If you want us to sit in awe of your presence and not say a word, we'll sit, you know, in suspense, as it were, Lord, waiting upon your great presence to make the very next move in our lives. We thank you, Father, and we commit the word now, both speaker and the hearer as well, in the name of Jesus Christ. You've seen every hand that was lifted, Lord. I pray you'd minister to the hearts of your children. Amen. And all God's people said amen. 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 You may be seated. May the Lord bless you real good today. Now, I'm going to try to take a couple of these words and show you exactly the attitude of those that will be saved and those that will be lost in this delay. Now, we know in terms of the coming of the Lord Jesus, the coming of the Lord is at any moment, at any time. The Gentiles do not know the day nor the hour because, frankly, Brother Bram said, we in our nature, we are so lazy and that sort of thing. He said that if we knew the day and we knew the hour and the time, if, for example, Jesus was supposed to come back at 12 o'clock this afternoon, you and I, as Gentiles, would wait till 11:59 and 35 seconds and start trying to get right with the Lord because that's our nature. That's the way we're built up. So he fixes it so that at any moment that we must be ready. And Brother Bam said it keeps it on the mark. He said the church, if they did no anticipations or had no way of looking for the expectation of him coming at any moment, they would live loose. He said, what if John would have said, well, the coming of the Lord is not going to be for many generations. I guess we should go eat, drink, and be merry. Now, we think in ourselves, there's no way that I would be that type of person. Yet just look at the way that you come to church. Look at the way you go to your job. Look at the way you handle everything you do. You leave the house with your hair on fire like you're 90 miles from water. Everything you do is last minute. Everything you do is, hurry up and get this and gather the kids. And you got one by the leg upside down and the diaper bag under the other arm. And daddy's trying to juggle this. You know why? That's the way that we've lived our life under such a rush and a rush and a gush that everything is always on the go. And the Lord designed it that way so that we would stay on the mark. Now, when we look at this, what Jesus said, he's telling us to be ready. Now, that is our responsibility as the people of God, to be ready for the coming of the Lord at any moment. Now, the word that Jesus uses here is the seasonable of persons, he says, ready or prepared to do something or to receive one's coming. So Jesus is saying, find the season to be ready. Find the season of your life that makes you ready. Now, that may be a certain sermon on Wednesday night. That may be something the Lord's dealing with you. But whatever season you're in, be ready in that season. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I've found that as a Christian, whenever the Lord is dealing with you on a certain thing and you fail to enter into the season of how he's dealing with you, you'll come right back to that thing over and over and over again until you start honoring what it is that God wanted you to think of in the first place. So if we ignore the seasons in our life and the seasons in which God deals with us, come on, somebody say amen, then God, we won't be ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, you look at that last night in 1958 down here in Chattanooga, and Brother Bram says, I don't see one thing left that would hinder the coming of the Lord Jesus tonight. And yet the seals have got to come open. He's got to preach to the trumpets. He's got to straighten out marriage and divorce. But yet in all of that, he wasn't waiting on certain things to happen. Brother Branham was ready right then in the season of how God was dealing with him for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, for you and I, it must be the very same way. I don't know how much longer we'll be here on the earth. I hope it ain't very long. I hope he comes in the next 5 minutes. I hope Jesus comes before we finish this church service. But if it goes on 30 years, we must follow those seasons that God is placing. But you know what I'm saying to you? We must follow that season of our life. Because I know this much. If I can follow him right now, 10 years from now ain't a problem. If I can obey him right now, 10 minutes from now ain't no problem. If I can obey him this very moment, 25 years from now, ain't going to make no difference as long as my attitude is the same right now as it will be in the future. Now, notice when Jesus uses this, the very next word that he uses that is significant to us is this word, think. Think. He said, in such an hour as ye think not. Now, the return ministry folks hung on real tight because I'm getting ready to scorch you real good. But notice this, the word that Jesus uses, dokeo, is to be of opinion, to think, to suppose. It seems good to. It pleased me, or I determined. Now, can you understand that this mindset, this way of thinking is that, well, you know, Jesus is coming. I'm supposed to be ready, but you know, I determine that things are going to be this way. Or I'm supposing that Brother Branham is going to have to put up a tent. He's going to have to send everybody through a little room. And everything's going to have to be in a certain way. He's got to shoot a brown bear. As a man told me one time, he had to shoot a brown bear before the resurrection could even take place. Praise the Lord. Oh, I know. We feel like, well, what's wrong with that? Because it's contrary to the word. That's what's wrong with it. Now, notice when you're looking at all of these things, the person themselves, their attitude toward the coming of the Lord during the delay is what determines whether they're going to be on the mark, whether they're going to be ready, whether they're going to be listening, huh? Whether they'll be following the move of the Spirit of God. Now, watch this closely, church. As you notice, it says, in his heart, the Lord is delaying his coming. So there's something about this delay that is bringing out the very best and the very worst in these two individuals right here. And Jesus has designed that delay to be there on purpose for two reasons. So that one group can be prepared for the judgment, be prepared for the tribulation, and the other group can get ready for the coming of the Lord and the rapture. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want to be a part of that group, don't you? Now, notice in the hour that he is not aware of. So notice the man is failing to follow the season. He is failing to follow the season of how God is revealing his promised word. He's not aware. You know why? Because he misses Wednesday night church. And sometimes he might stream in on Saturday. And every now and then he hears a preacher that he likes, if he likes him. And then he kind of picks up a book every great now and then. And he gets his Bible out of the box, as the brother sang about. But you see, friend, that kind of Christian will miss the seasonable word every single time. If you and I are not on the mark, if we are not listening and watching and working, we will fail to find the season that God is dealing in. Friends, that's the whole reason here several years ago when the main issue about the copyright come up, why so many people failed to go on with the Lord, because they made it about this and made it about that and made it about it. They failed to follow the season in which God was trying to show us that we do not worship Brother Branham. We do not worship Brother Branham. We do not stand there and fall down. Oh, worship old Brother Branham, you great holy thing. But God was revealing to us that there was a ministry on this earth, and the Lord was trying to shake this bride away from every man-made hindrance that keeps us from the season of the Word. Now, I can tell you by traveling, people that are sensitive to the real truth of the Word, they are following along just exactly like God wants them to. The ones that buck and fight and try to hold on to some belief 25 years ago, they are failing every time I go to their churches or I see different circumstances. I find that there are people everywhere that are failing to move into the season of the Word. And you recognize that people that are in that mindset, people that are, well, I'll do what I want to do and I think I can handle it. Oh, I'll be all right. You know, it ain't no big deal. And Jesus loves me and God knows my heart. He sure does. He sure does. Now, friend, that don't have to be just one certain issue, but what about the way the Lord deals with you in your life? Some of you husbands sitting here, and God will deal with you on how to handle your homes. And instead of moving on in that truth and saying, Lord, forgive me, help me to be better, help me to attain to what you're laying before me, they'll miss that season completely. And the Spirit of God will lay them right there on the shelf, and they will never go any farther until they come back to that truth and make it right according to the Word. Listen, friends, these things we're talking about many years ago, well, couldn't have been said today. The people hadn't progressed as far as they are now. But I'm amazed sometimes sitting down trying to study in the messages. I'll go through 80 or 100 or 150 quotes, and it looked like I get stuck after the third or fourth quote because it's so much is opening up, I can't keep up with it. It's like things are breaking. That Roman candle's just shooting every which direction. I think, Lord, help me. I felt it last night on the platform trying to preach. I wasn't just saying that for joke's sake. I literally felt like I was about to spontaneously combust. Why? Because the revelation, the season is picking up at such a rapid pace that the people have got to keep up with it if they expect to get out of here. Amen. Amen. You got to be in season. Well, I suppose, I determine, no, God ain't asking you. God ain't asking me. He says, be ready. That's all. If you got anything coming beyond that, you've got some devil working on you. Yeah, praise on. See, I didn't come to make you mad. It just comes through the preaching. I cannot help it. I got into that thing last night and I felt like I was snarling. I was preaching so rough. But do you understand the Holy Ghost does such actions to get us ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus? Friends, God ain't going to let us sit there slothful and sit there lazy and sit there complacent. This Word is opening up too greatly to us. There are things that's coming forth from this message now under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that we've never seen just this way ever. The power of God is accelerating and He's looking for an accelerated people. As I said last night, back in the 80s, you might have got away with reading your Bible once every great now and then. Back in the 90s, you might have been able to slack out a Wednesday night and not got as big a whipping, but you can't do that now. You miss one little service, you've missed a lot. You miss one little thing in that Word of God and you've missed a whole bunch. That's why when people backslide and they try to come back to the house of God, it looks like they're light years behind where they are. You know why? Because the Word is accelerating. Lord, I thank God for that right there. Lord, I just pray that you help us catch up to the speed, the same synchronization of the power of God. Help us to move in that same channel of that anointing. Look at it. I read it again this morning. Brother Man out there in the squirrels, you know, and he said, I looked out there. He said, and I, you know, the Lord, so I started to walk away and the Lord said, do you doubt what you said? You said three. Brother Man said, I turned around and I thought to myself, somehow I have broken to that channel. I thought, Lord, the speed was picking up for him, and he didn't even know it. It was moving faster than what he could understand himself. The season was moving. It was opening up. And Brother Branham wasn't like a lot of people. He said, Lord, help me to catch up to what you're doing. Do you understand that you could solve many of your problems sitting here in this church this morning if you would simply repent and ask God to help you? Come on, somebody, help me preach this morning. If you would simply say, Lord, I need your grace, I need your mercy, I need your help to make it out of this evil age. Friends, why are we so stubborn to the things of God when we should be so humble? Say, Lord, I need you. Some people, I do not know what's the matter with them. They will criticize everything that moves. And when you try to help them, they get mad at you. Some folks do not realize how close to blaspheming the Holy Ghost that they come in a service when they sit in a church service and the Spirit of God moves on a man. He may growl, he may snarl, he may holler, he may kick, he may be a teacher. Take that word and go through all kinds of things and place the body. But if you sit there and you look at that with a critical attitude and the Holy Ghost is motivating that man, do you not realize that Jesus himself said, you can say it against me, Brother Amos. He said, and I'll forgive it for you in this world. He said, but to say it when the Spirit of truth has come, it'll never be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. One word against the real moving of the Spirit of God will not be forgiven. It's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. We place that on Brother Branham, but preachers are anointed by the Spirit of God to preach. So I don't believe that. Then you don't believe Hebrews chapter 1, because he said, I'll set my ministers as flames of fire, ordained to minister angels. Ministering spirits. The prophet said, greatest battle ever fought. He said that when a man comes to the platform, he said, God sends down an angel from heaven to anoint that servant of God to preach. So when you sit there with your critical attitude, you might be crossing the line and you don't know it. Right. Now notice, you must be ready. Everybody can say amen to that, I'm sure. You must be ready and you must be in season. How you was ready 10 years ago is not how you're ready today. Be like the children of Israel following the pillar of fire. If they follow the pillar of fire so far, and you know, he started moving on. Well, I followed him out when he was here last week. I followed him right here on this site, Brother Jim. I was right there, and the Spirit, I looked right up there at that burning ball of fire. But yeah, he's way on down. He's 150 kilometers way on down the other side of the road. If you aren't following him every single day, you will miss this thing. Oh, God, friends, don't let that be said of you. But the simplicity of it always staggers folks. What I'm doing this morning is too simple for some people to believe it's God. It doesn't make sense to them because it looked like God would have a Harvard education. Friends, I got news for you. God is so smart and so great and so intellectual. It's the Harvard ones that are dummies compared to him. Show me one of them intellectual eggheads that can tell you how a blade of grass works. Come on now. Show me where one of them groups out there can tell you how the sun turned. Oh, they can tell you at what speed they can tell, but tell me who's holding it up. Tell me who's holding the moon and the stars. Tell me who's making that sun hang out there. But yet we get a few little degrees behind our name and we think we know everything there is to know. Oh, don't look at me that way. Message people are educated too. They think they can memorize a good stack of quotes and boy, I got her licked now. And your education next to God don't mean nothing. Lord, how did I get back in all this hard preaching again so quickly? Lord, y'all don't tell Brother Donnie on me, okay? Please don't tell Brother Donnie on me. Now notice, our preparation then must be in the cycle and in the season of what God wants for our lives. Now let's look at Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 and 6. And we've read this a million times, but I wonder if we recognize what it really means for us sometimes. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now You look at this next verse, and there's two ministries in this next verse. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers. The heart of the fathers. The heart of the fathers. Not the mouth. Not the head. Not the body. The heart. Same place the evil servant says, my Lord delays his coming. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, John the Baptist, and the heart of the children to their fathers, William Branham. These bunch of people can disagree with him being a prophet, and they can walk around and act like he doesn't mean nothing to them. They can fuss about a bridge. They can fuss about a cloud. They can fuss about all kinds of things. They can fuss about birth certificates. They can fuss about dates and timelines if they want to. They'll find out like them prophets did in the days of Micah when the Los Angeles is laying under the ocean. They'll find out where the Spirit of God went in this end time. That man walked up and smacked him in the mouth and said, where was the Spirit of God when he went out there? He said, if you even come back, the Lord ain't even spoke to me. They'll find out one day when Los Angeles is laying under the water where the Spirit of God went when this message was given to us. Right. Now notice the message of John. Now let's look at this in Mark chapter 1 verse 1 through 3. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ the Son of God. Now notice the beginning of the gospel, the preparation work. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee, thy way before thee, and the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Now that sounds like the same word, but it is not. The first word he uses there in verse 2, prepare, great big old Greek word, y'all can see it, I can't pronounce this stuff, but he said, of builders to construct or erect, with the included idea of adorning and equipping with all things necessary. That's the first word. The second word is to make necessary preparations to get everything ready, drawn from the Oriental custom of sending on before kings on their journey a person to level the road and make it passable. Oh, glory. So John, in the preparation cycle, was God's bulldozer of the hour. When God the King wanted to march on the passable way of the gospel, he sent down a Holy Ghost ordained bulldozer. Oh, glory! And he made high places low and low places high. Why? Because he was God called in Holy Ghost construction. Oh, glory! That's what's going on this morning. You are under construction. The Spirit of God, by His last day word, is taking out the hammer, taking out the nails, and getting your life right with the way the word fits it together. God's bulldozer. Boy, was He a good one too. They hated Him, friends. They hated Him. Look at him standing out there when he walked up there and did an excavation job on those big mountains called Pharisees. He looked over at the general contractor, the main man on the job, and looked at the GC, that's God's control. Hallelujah! And said, I believe this mountain's a little bit too high. He said, that's right. He radioed back down to the bulldozer, begin operation. And he said, y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of snakes in the grass. Don't begin to say within yourself that we have Abraham our father. For God, the general contractor, is able to erect stones. Children unto Abraham. I imagine on the River Jordan that day when John stepped down and put his feet in that muddy water and stepped over that little girdle wrapped up around him. Honey coming down from his jaws. Locust wings in between his teeth. And I imagine when he stepped back here and took the prophet's word from Isaiah and Jeremiah and all those great sages and men of God, I imagine when they heard that bulldozer go, said, he is the noisiest preacher. But you see, he was called to contract. Oh, glory! He had a construction job. He had to make it pass. Oh, glory to God.
He had to make it possible for the king to make his way to the beast. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, notice the second word, to make necessary preparations or get everything ready. Jesus himself would not come into his first advent until everything was ready. Now, don't think to yourself, well, boy, I tell you, them people, boy, they sure missed an opportunity. That was John, that great prophet of God, Elijah, standing there under the anointing. Boy, did they miss it. Let's fast forward a little bit, can we? Because that same spirit is supposed to return again. And God is going to rev up another bulldozer in the end time. He sees all these denominations bringing out that word in a way that ain't right. And them buildings are all built crooked, and they got 2x8s instead of 2x6s, and they got 2x4s instead of 2x10s, and they're using 3/4 nails instead of 2 whatever it might be, and they've got all this built wrong, and it's about to fall over like this. And God sends down another Elijah contractor, and he says, look, you can't build this house using that titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. You can't build this Holy Ghost rocket ship using them three gods. Don't you realize why the world hated this man? Because he represented someone that stood against every organized religion on this planet. But he was God's bulldozer just the same. He was God's contractor. Hallelujah! I don't care about a birth certificate. He had a better certificate. I'm not looking at a birth certificate. I'm looking at vindication. Friends, do you realize that when people are looking at them signs anyways, that they're doing it wrong? It is not, a man is not vindicated just because he has signs. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. We don't follow after signs. How I know he was a man of God was because what he said lined up. Come on now. Come on now. What the man said lined up with the word. But you understand what they're doing? They're using something that cannot be proved. All right? If you want to be a big shot, take your Bible then and prove that Jesus' name baptism ain't right. I say it like a man said it many years ago to a certain individual. He believed in titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, when you as a child, did you play connect the dots? He said, yes. He said, let's play them. He said, I'll let you start. You start your dot at Matthew 28:19, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, and make another dot to the next scripture in which he says it again, titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The man looked at him for a little while and he looked back and he said, you can't make another dot, can you? He said, let me start on Acts 2:38. He said, now I'm going to make a dot over at Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to go to Acts chapter 19. He said, I'm still making dots. Where are you at? As a matter of fact, he said, I'll go ahead and finish it and connect it back with Matthew 28:19, because it wasn't titles anyhow. Baptize in the name. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy. What was his name? His name was Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The vindication was by the word. If it's only signs only. A. Allen, Jack Cole, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, every one of them had signs. But there was something about this message that spoke on a higher level. Come on, somebody. This message spoke at a higher accelerated season. There were things that were opening up in this word that no denomination could keep up with. It's taken us 40 years to catch up with it. Amen, but we're catching up. We're catching up already. Give it some time. We won't just be catching up. We'll be caught up. Oh, glory! We're not just catching up, but one day we'll be caught up. I want that to be my first phrase in heaven. I'm caught up now. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?
Most of these guys that are controversial anyways, what they're wanting is to build their own church. They want their own following. I think some of y'all forgot that word. I'll help you. Amen. Amen. Say it again. Say it again. Amen. Amen. But you say, I don't want to get all this. You see, that's the problem with most of us. We just bury our heads in the sand like a bunch of ostrich. God doesn't want us to be cowards, friends. We have a vindicated word that will defend itself. You don't have to stand up and go toe to toe with this, that, and the other. All you have to do is stand for that word, and God will back up what He says. The problem with some of our homes, friends, we don't want to quote the Bible. We don't want to say what God said. Well, maybe they'll get mad at me. They sure might. But if God told you the word and He can quote that word and live by that word, then God will vindicate what He said. The word that Paul uses here is unknown, secret, unseen. So if the trumpet gives forth an unknown, a secret, or an unseen sound, how would you know how to prepare yourself for battle? So I guess them folks, when they went to church, they wanted to hear the loud trumpet. They didn't want that quiet, unseen religion. Everybody be quiet now. Everybody be quiet. I imagine that's the way they was in Acts 2 until the Holy Ghost came. Brother Man said there's a bunch of cowards up there. They didn't want nobody to know what was going on. He said, but when the Spirit of God came down on Brother Harry, he said the power of God hit that room. He said they threw up the windows. They went running out into the streets. Peter standing up, the spokesman, the inaugural man, and he said, this is that John bulldozed for. This is that God has constructed in the last day. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Watch. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures . Now, if you can't take Brother Bam's word for it, how about Paul? Can you take his scripture in the book of Acts and understand why many of us lack? Some of y'all ain't going to say amen no matter how hard I pull, are you? Come on now. Now, this is how we can stay synchronized with God's truth of the end time. Now, remember, these people didn't just say, well, that was a wonderful sermon 6 months from now. Wonder what it was he said again. Let's see, did he say it was... five angels, seven angels. Let's see, what did the man say again? But see, they had a readiness in their mind. They wasn't supposing. They wasn't determining. They wasn't taking a preconceived notion. But they were ready in their mind by searching the scriptures daily. The prophet of God said, if you're not in that word when Jesus comes, you'll miss him when he does come. Ooh, hang on to that now, because I'm getting ready to strike that iron while it's good and hot. Now notice this, their minds, their heart, everything about them was ready, but they didn't just stop at the introduction. They didn't just stop when Paul came down and began. Remember, Paul was the breach messenger. So God had to meet him on the road to Damascus and get his doctrine on the Godhead straightened out first. Because he believed God was just that Old Testament Jewish figure out there laying up over top that tabernacle. And when Jesus came down and knocked him off his high horse, and Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Now if that's the foundation we're built on, God had to get that man straightened out first. So they introduced Jesus. They tell these people he's the Messiah. Now, they didn't do like a lot of message folks did and say, praise the Lord, God sent a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. Likened unto Moses, Deuteronomy 18, right? Jesus was a prophet. But they didn't stop at the introduction. Ooh, Lord, you people are getting quiet on me.
They didn't stop at the introduction. No. But they kept on moving daily. Daily. They kept making ready. They kept searching the Word, Brother Jim. They kept looking in the truth and finding out what's next for me, Lord. Oh, that's the way it needs to be with you and I. Every day of our life we should wake up. What's next? What's next, Lord? Hallelujah! If you are hungry, He promised He would fill you. Hallelujah. Notice that God's provided a way. Brother Man says, we should know how to tell the people to prepare for this great event that's coming. If the coming of the Lord is so great, it's the most essential thing that we can do is get the people prepared for it. So the most essential thing ain't building new schools. Ain't building million-dollar churches. Huh? It ain't building up some big program. Praise the Lord. I tell you the problem around message people, friends, we got too many hot dog roasts and volleyball games. You call a Bible study, 30 will show up. You call a volleyball game and you'd have to get 4 courts to hold them all. Praise the Lord. Now, nothing against people having entertainment and fun. I understand all that's a part of life. But the focus and the emphasis of our soul, the most essential thing to us is get ready. Get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Friend, if this is the most essential teaching, is get ready, then what is the most essential teaching in your home? If my mission as a minister is to get you ready by all the Lord gives me, to preach all that I know to help you get ready, then what's the most essential teaching in your home? Is it become a basketball star? Is it go get an education? Have a big job? Have a big house? Have a big fine car? What is the most essential teaching of your home? You can see why we're going to be hated, Brother Terry. People don't want you digging in their tater patch. Those are my taters. You leave them alone. No, they're God's taters. You just don't know that yet. God's trying to get us ready. Come on, somebody. God trying to get our attention. Get it away from the things of the world. Get it away from the rudiments of man. Get it away from what we want, what we determine, and what we suppose. And get it on the Word. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. That's the most essential teaching. So if the focus of a man of God, God sent a prophet. They're so worn out and exhausted, that's as far as they can go. Y'all just have to pray for them and get back Wednesday night. They fight all week long and they crawl back to the pulpit. Church, I got a brand new message for you. God sent a prophet. Well, I imagine they don't have much spiritual strength because they're not feeding on that last day word. Brother Bam gave us an example of it. He told us about two farmers. One farmer was studious. He said he would get down there and make hay for the cows. He said when it come time, he said to open up that door and let them run. He said them cows was jumping, running, having a real revival. You know why? They were fat on good vitamins. They were fat on hay. Come on, don't get quiet on me. They were fed by the Word of God. They were all rejuvenated by truth. But he said that other farmer was a lazy farmer. He wouldn't make hay for them cows. And when they swung the door open, they were just barely... Somebody pray for me. I can get to church Wednesday night. Somebody. I'm not going to make it. And them cows over there going, what in the world is the matter with that guy? When I couldn't wait for him to open up that gate. I was saying, open it, man of God. Open it. I can't wait to get out there. That's where my promise is. That's where my pastor is. Let me at it. Let me at it. That's the problem. We got too many lazy farmers. Well, it's the truth whether you say amen or not. I'm just dumb enough to say it. You notice I said dumb enough. Too many people are too smart to just tell it like it is. Everybody wants politically correct. Don't hurt nobody's feelings. Don't insult nobody. Let me tell you, brother, if we're going to get ready for the coming of the Lord, we need to get away from all that nonsense and say, if you've got to cut me, here I am. If you've got to skin me, I want to be right with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I get so tired of having to milk people. I'm a gospel farmer, but I don't like milking. I like making hay. You gotta prime them to say amen, and prime them to shout, and prime them to rejoice, and prime them, and then after about 20 minutes of priming, they're all wore out again. You lazy thing, you. Why don't you get under a farmer that'll make you some hay? Why don't you find you a gospel? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you find you a gospel farmer that can make that word live to you? Well, you know, I just don't know if I can move. What's the matter? You don't trust God? Well, my job. God provided that job. He didn't provide another one. Well, I don't know how I'd get there. I do. Would you let me tell you? Little company called U-Haul. Penske. Budget. I got plenty of names if you want to know them. But oh, I don't know. I couldn't. You see, that's why we get in so much trouble. Because the most essential idea of our life is not get ready. The most essential idea is get wealth, homes, good cars. What, y'all want to have a staring contest, some of you? Come on, what's the matter with some of you? Ain't going to say amen? What, cat got your tongue? And even you in your own heart this morning, you know I'm telling you the truth. But rather than own up to it, rather than say, yes, man of God, I need help with this, you'd rather bite your own conscience and say, I'll deal with it tomorrow. Let me tell you, in the name of the Lord, you may not have tomorrow. You may be at the crossing line right this very moment. God himself may be calling you to your last call. You say, you don't know that. I don't. But the word of God says somewhere we're going to get it. Somewhere we'll get our last call in this life. You got any spiritual understanding at all, you can tell we are at the end. We are at the end. You think things are bad now, Happy Valley? You wait till they pass Prop 8. You wait till they legalize gay marriage. You think it's bad now? You wait till the floodgate opens fully for Sodom and for Sodom and Gomorrah to come legally into this country. You think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. The most essential thing that we can do is get the people prepared for it. Because if he comes and we're not prepared, then we'll be left out. Don't let this be said about you and me. Friends, there's too much to hold on to this morning. There's too much to believe. There's too much to throw our heart into. There's too much that we can hang on to. Do you understand the anointing that you feel in this building this morning? Do you realize that this anointing will one day leave this earth? I'm not talking about just the rain itself, but the richness and the quickening unction that lay in the anointing will leave. I'll read you a quote in just a few minutes where Brother Bam said, preachers will go on preaching, still having altar calls, people still thinking that they'll get saved. And the door of mercy's been slammed shut. Now in your mind, some of you thought about denominations. Allow me to correct that. Message people will be doing the same thing. Notice in fellowship by redemption, I believe the day we're living now, the most essential thing that I could think of any minister speaking of is get the people back to the general principles of the gospel. So the most general principle is the gospel.
Not just hearing a tape. Not just waiting on a tent. Not waiting on the return of a prophet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The most essential thing is get back to the general principles of the gospel. Notice coming back to a place. For if you're not bent on the right foundation, it's no good. What's the use of building upon a foundation that has already been condemned? So if you build your foundation upon Brother Branham, that gospel is not that understanding is not the gospel foundation. Because Brother Branham is not the foundation of the gospel. Ooh, Lord. I figured you Happy Valleyans would say amen louder than that. Good as y'all been taught, you should have said amen louder than that. The gospel foundation is not upon the infallibility of flesh. That's right. That foundation has already been condemned. That's what the Catholics believe, is that brother, that you know, their Pope is infallible, and some people believe Brother Branham is infallible. That is not the gospel foundation. Praise the Lord, somebody. Now notice, oh my, what would the use of trying to paper and paint an old building that the government had condemned? That's what many people are trying to do today by reforming and trying to reform. I'm not a reformer, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Right, that's what we are, we're not reformers. Notice, we'll start a church, we'll turn a new page, we'll try to do something a little different than we used to do. You'll never get nowhere like that. It's just foolish even to try. You're only wasting your time. He said, you say, well, I believe I just quit my lying and stealing, all those things as good as they are. You're still a million miles off the road. You've got to start back to the foundation. You got to build a new place. Not patch up the old one. Build a brand new one. Now, how y'all reckon you're going to do this whenever them houses that you build up are so big, you can't tear them down with your little 4x4 sledgehammer? No, you can't do it. You've built up such a big old house and it's in such a mess. You can't get out there at your little saw and your little screw gun and your little hammer and tear down that whole place by yourself. You'll kill yourself trying. That's why God has ordained some Holy Ghost wrecking crews. Men that's got the bulldozer, men that's got the wrecking ball. And God sees your life the way it is, and God will call a bulldozer on the scene and say, don't you try to patch up that old belief. Don't you try to patch up that old doctrine. And that man of God will just pull you right down the line. Hallelujah. That's why some people in church get so upset about it. They get to the spot to where they think to themselves, oh man, you know, I can handle this. And then all of a sudden they come to church one day and they go to saying, well, you know, it looks to me like the Spirit of God is really just wrecking my world. He is. Amen. He is. The Spirit of God does not happen in the world.
Hang on. Somebody come up here and help me with this thing. Help me, you brothers. I don't know. Now listen, when you start feeling like you're falling over and toppling over, guess what? You are. You are. That's the reason the Spirit of God is dealing with you the way He deals with you. Ever come to church and get to thinking to yourself, man, oh man, I felt like I got stripped. I got tore down. I got beat up. You know why? A Holy Ghost wrecking ball hit you that morning. A Holy Ghost wrecking crew came down and got a hold of you and made you the way you are. See, but people see that thing falling down. They're like, oh, no. I like my bathroom so much. I like that living room just the way it was, but God knew it was contrary to the Word. He said, build a brand new one. You got to come back and start right. That's the reason you see so many faulty mistakes, so many people indifferent, people who profess Christianity. People who profess Christianity. He said, now this is a little bit hard.
But you are the only Bible that many people will ever read. Well, you heard it in the song this morning. You are the only Bible some people will ever read. Now, what do you want them reading about your life? That you're in love with the prophet? That you're in love with the church? That you're in love with the pastor? In love with an evangelist? In love with a singer? Or would you rather them see in your life that you're in love with the author of the heavens and the earth? Come on now, what do you want them to see about your life? Do you want them to read in the storybook of your life that you are only in love with coming to church? Now, let's look at how Jesus comes for a little while. Brothers, if you will, put those two pictures back up here today. Just pick which one you want. And let's look now. Turn to Revelation 16, 15. You that's got your Bible, if you want to read it up there, that's fine too, of course. Now, this is people's idea of the rapture. I wanted some of you who wasn't able to be this last night to see this again. Now, this is their idea. Now, I don't know what Fido done to be left behind, but he'd been a bad doggy. Look, I believe God has all kinds of concern and care for every animal. Matter of fact, Brother Bram's dog's going to be in heaven. Must have been a Trinitarian doggy. Now, this is their idea of what they believe the rapture really is. A piles of clothes laying everywhere. Show them the next one, brothers. This is the idea that they believe the rapture will take place. Jesus will show up in the clouds. Planes will be crashing. Trains will be derailing. There'll be all kinds of mass chaos everywhere. Now let me ask you a question. How could the coming of the Lord be a total secret if this is taking place on the earth? All right. Now you say that's Pentecostal dumb. That's of the devil. Well, what's any worse than people believing that Brother Branham will set up a tent, have a prayer line all the way around the block? See, y'all ain't going to pull nothing on me on that, because I come from a church like that. I know how evil that thing is. I know how wrong it is according to the Word, too. So you ain't going to scare me a bit. I'm just going to get that much tougher on it. Right, because this is the Word of God we're talking about. This is our souls. We don't play around with these gospel things like this. The same spirit that was in that Pentecostal dogma of planes crashing, trains derailing, is the same spirit that's behind what they call their return ministry. You imagine just one man gets on TV and calls the message a bunch of blasphemy and it goes around the world in just a few minutes. My phone blew up. Did you see? Did you see? Did you hear? Could you imagine what they would say and what would happen if a dead prophet got up from the grave and set a tent up and people were having healing campaigns and getting their resurrection and getting their rapture? Do you think Fox News is going to not cover a story like that? Do you think CNN is going to ignore such news like that with some of the big mouths these message people have got? You're kidding yourself. It won't take them very long and they'll, and everybody will know everything. Praise the Lord. Same spirit behind that Pentecostal dogma. Same spirit behind Brother Bam setting up a tent and shooting a brown bear. Oh, but he's got to be here 40 days. Show me that for the New Testament. There is no 40 days for the New Testament. He comes in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Boy, I hit the nerve right there. I felt her quiver. You just need to read your Bible more, precious friend. The secret coming of Jesus, Brother Bam identified it in his title, the sudden secret going away of the church. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Can I go a bit further? I'm supposed to close, I guess. But now, look at Revelation 16, 15. If you like to turn, that'd be fine, but not, you can watch it up here. He said, behold, I come as a thief. Now notice, Jesus didn't say he was a thief. He comes as a thief. You know why? Because you ain't stolen property. Oh, hallelujah! You're not stolen property. He said, ye are bought with a price.
glory to God, glory to God. Ye are bought with a price. You're not your own. So he's not coming because he is a thief. He's coming as a thief. He's stealth in the darkness. He doesn't want CNN to know what's happening. He doesn't want, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, hallelujah. Why in the world do I have to hold this mic? I can't shout as good with it. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. He doesn't want Fox News knowing what's happening. He doesn't want the message people knowing what's happening. This is for his sweetheart alone. Come on, somebody. This is for the elected, the bride of Jesus Christ alone. This ain't for the world. This is for her. Behold, I come as a thief. Very next phrase. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. In other words, he doesn't need to be a lady of sin. Blind, wretched, miserable, poor, naked. 2 Peter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a great big tent meeting with a dead brown bear hanging in the corner. You say you're making fun. No, the ones that are fun making are the ones that believe such garbage. Notice he comes as a thief. He stealths. Anybody ever have your house robbed? You know what that's like. They come and they go and you don't even know they've come. You don't even know they've gone. So Jesus takes upon one last mask at the time of the rapture. He has one more act that he's got to step into. One more role he's got to step into, Brother Jim, before the coming of the Lord. He's got to change from God, the Son of God in these church ages, and the Son of Man at the end, the Son of Man ministry at the end. And now he's got to put on another mask as a thief. And he stealths. He's going quietly. That's the reason the seventh seal couldn't be made known to the public. Because if you could imagine, if the devil knew when Jesus would come, he would fight you right up plumb to the last hour. But that dumb, stupid, ignorant, dumb old devil don't know the time. He don't know the hour. And Jesus could be stealthing right now. We don't even know it. Oh my, we don't even know. Maybe in just a few moments time that Jesus will sweep in there for the elected. And in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, we'll get out of here in the rapture of the church. It's going home time, sweetheart. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. It's time to go home. It's time to go to your future home. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Not planes crashing, not trains derailing, but a secret. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord will do nothing, but first he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Amen, Brother Jerry. Amen. 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 That's what's being made known to you and I. And this red meeting right here, the Spirit of God is conveying his secret to the initiated of God, to those that's got the call in their soul to hear the voice of God. Oh, come on, somebody. The ones that can hear that last day truth, they're hearing the call right now. Get ready. Get ready. The rest of the world goes out and says, I don't understand what he's even talking about. Nothing but a screaming idiot if you ask me. The rest of the world looks in there and says, you know what I heard today? It's a little bit closer now. It's a little bit closer now than it's ever been before. Hallelujah! The hour has arrived and now is that the secret is being broke to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The day of the Lord will come as a thief. Look at verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall burn with fervent heat. When does destruction happen? When the bride goes up, Satan comes down. So the evil servants are being prepared for tribulation. That's why you need to be careful what you choke down your soul. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Preachers this last day having to go get professional counseling and having to go and talk to this book and read this self-help thing and go into this deal and that deal. Listen, I know some of them things could help us if they're used appropriately. But what scares me, friends, is it looks like people don't even have any discernment in their own soul. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to get a hold of the throne room of God. Listen, we don't need psychology. We need a move of God. Do you understand? Like Brother Reagan's been taking these things about the confirmation. All of those things are necessary if they come from gifted men. They know how to place them. They know how to use them right. But people would rather bypass the move of God and try to figure it out by some Jeff LaHaye and Jenkins type setup. The ones that wrote the Left Behind series. You know what I'm talking about? You see, and they got this anointing on them to lead people's thinking into the tribulation period. They're not looking for Jesus to return. They haven't seen the bulldozer come through. The word looking here, to expect, whether in thought, he comes in a day that they think not. Notice, in hope or in fear, to look for, to wait for. Hasting means to desire earnestly. So you're looking for the coming of the Lord. So if he's moving, as I said last night, at 1 billion miles per second, how are your natural eyes going to see him? Some of y'all can't hardly keep up with me bouncing back and forth on this church. If he's moving so rapidly, such a quick pace. Do you understand? That's why I'm trying to tell you this. Was it Jeff LaHaye or what did these guys? You know what I'm trying to say. I don't know their names exactly. But you take these individuals and you look at what they're preaching. It is such a slow, rapid thing that they, you know, well, we want to love Jesus and we want to have the right attitude. And when the tribulation comes, then we'll make something right. Same spirit behind return ministry. So if you're looking for it, how are you looking? Huh? How are you looking? Are you looking with your natural eyes? A camera can't move that fast. Do you imagine how slow God had to slow himself down just to let him take his picture in Houston? Look, friends, God's always moving. The very first time you read of him in the book of Genesis, and God moved on the face of the waters. When you see him down through there, God moving, God moving. God is always moving forward. Them four living creatures with their wheels always moving forward. God never slows down for nobody. But in 1950, he said, you know, I think I'll take a little whistle stop. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Notice, Brother Mem says in The Secret Sudden, he says, God has said in his word that it'd be like a thief in the night. It would be so, people would say, as the world thinks, well, there's plenty of time. It'll be well announced. It'll be announced. It's a secret coming announcing. It's just those who are willing to hear it. And those willing to consider it who loves the Lord. So how are you going to see him? If he's moving so quickly, you can't see him with your natural eyes. So you must have some spiritual eyes that are watching the movement of the word in right season. Come on, somebody. The word moving in the right season, in the right time. Not just a bunch of something from history or 40 years ago. Not some Jenkins or LaHaye set up of the Left Behind. Not some James Dobson. Not some this or that. But the word preached in the right season. And the Spirit of God moving upon your soul. And you watch the movement of that word. God opens something new. You step into that word. God opens something new. You step into that word. It'll be like it was with Enoch. God would walk, we walk with Enoch, and God would just disappear while he was walking. He said, this time I'm going to watch him. He said, when he makes that step, I'm going to see where he goes. And one day God got to walking with Enoch, and Enoch got to walking with God. Let me tell you something. I've been walking on this earth 36 years. I ain't done it without scraped knees and bruised elbows. But I didn't let it stop me from walking. I got back up. Amen. And I kept on walking. God made a little whoop. And Enoch said, I got him now. And Enoch made a little whoop. There's been cosmonauts. There's been astronauts. Enoch was the first was not. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It'll be well announced, but only those that are listening. Only those that are watching. Can I have a few more minutes of your time? Thank you. Seven compound names. Brother Benjamin said, every prophecy, everything that I know of, that I can see in the scripture has been fulfilled. Already waiting for the coming of the Lord. As I said last night, I believe the coming of the Lord Jesus, the second coming, is already past due. I say, thank God. You said, that's awful. No, it's not. Because if God wasn't long-suffering, I couldn't have made it in. You couldn't have made it in. You and you and you and you and you and you. Why is God waiting? Why is he lingering in this delay? So we can get prepared. So we can get ready, get ready, get ready. He said, like it was in the days of Noah, the long suffering. God waited, not willing any should perish. These to me are the most beautiful words. He's just waiting, waiting now, with his long suffering that is coming already past due, waiting to get the church in order so the second coming can take place. Notice, and he that is in you, I didn't say I'd done preaching, I just said stand. They'll never even know what happens. The doors of mercy is closed. Preachers will be preaching salvation, be causing people to repent, and going on like it always did in other ages. It will in this age, he says. And the rapture will be so sudden and so quick that the world will never even miss them, that they're gone. I'll tell you where the real misfits are going to be. Those ones that will be missing that try to fit them into some return ministry doctrine. That's the kind of misfit I want to be. I want to miss what they believe. I don't want to fit into what they believe. You say, is it important? More now so than it's ever been. Don't you understand? That's the reason why these doctrines are circulating. It's because Satan is trying to take the attention off of the people. As I tried to say to you, you forgive me. I don't understand their names. Jenkins, LaHaye, I guess is the way they say it. Left Behind series. And they teach in there that there'll be tribulation saints. That in the tribulation after Jesus comes, that's when the people will really shine. Somebody tell me how that's any different than what return ministry preaches themselves. How is that any different than people preaching that there'll be some great something take place, that some way on up the road, some great something will happen, and that's when the people will really shine. They'll come to the platform and they'll stand there and say, one of these days when Brother Branham comes back. And Brother Branham's done been back and done gone. Because remember, your Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4 that all of those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Sure, I believe Brother Branham will come back, but not the way they say he'll come back. Right, and that's the way that we need to look at this thing, friends. The sudden secret going away of the church. Do you understand any doctrine, any idea, any phrase, any thought pattern, however you may look at it, that says that we are waiting on something to happen? That's the same spirit behind them pictures I showed you this morning. Waiting on something, waiting on something. You see, it's not really us that's waiting. It's Him that's waiting. And actually, on God's side of things, He's looking for the next great thing to happen. In case y'all didn't know, that next great thing is you. So when you open up your little Left Behind series and you start weeping, oh, I can't believe, oh man, just think of that. One of these days the bride is going to be, and the bride will be done gone completely. They'll come to the platform. They'll read quotes from the prophet of God. They'll read scriptures out of the Bible. People will feel under the feeling of conviction. And they'll come to an altar and they'll cry out to God, oh, Jesus, have mercy. And that false prophet will lead them into a false birth. And the bride has already come and she's already gone. Listen at this. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape, but ye, brethren, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. If you look at these two words that Paul uses here when they say peace and safety, let's show them, brothers, what peace means. Yes, sir. A state of national tranquility. Exemption from rage and havoc of war. The worlds will say, we're finding resolution now. We're now coming to the spot to where everybody's coming into agreement. Our economies are rolling better now than they ever rolled. Americans, they won't even know it, but mama's done sold them over the river and done bought them out of all of their debt. They'll come to church and serve God within the framework. And some of these poor, ignorant, pitiful, blind message people will be sitting there serving God in the framework of a system, thinking that Brother Branham is going to come down and straighten it out when he gets up in the grave. They'll tell their people, don't worry about it. Brother Branham will come out and straighten all this out. As I heard a preacher say many years ago, don't worry about your marriage and divorce situations. When Brother Branham comes back, he told us he would straighten all this out in the millennium anyhow. So marry who you want to marry and do what you want to do and act how you want to act. Brother Branham will straighten it all out later. Safety, security from enemies and dangers. People will feel at such an ease. The Antichrist will cause craft, manufacturing, to prosper, to increase. Folks will feel like we're picking up now. The economy's in a better place now. Things are better now than they've ever been. Oh, I tell you, there's more jobs. Did you hear that the other day on the radio? Unemployment's better than it's ever been. Man, how in the world could this be the time that Jesus would come? And they'll be looking to their great leaders. They'll be looking to those great systems, those great supermen that the devil will hand to them. And the whole world will be blinded by a state of tranquility. And don't realize, like Samson, they've laid their head in the lap of Delilah. And Satan is rocking the world to sleep. And when they wake up, it'll be too late. Do you recognize, friends? Let me say this to you. If you are standing in this church this morning, you have the opportunity to miss every bit of this. You could override everything that's coming to this world by simply submitting yourself to what's being preached in its right season. As I tried to tell you, don't you put your confidence in Nola Hay or Jenkins. Don't you put your confidence in none of these last day authors and last day writers that try to tell you some great something's coming. Whenever we're looking down the road of God's bulldozers cleared us a path. And between here and the rapture, it is a clear understanding. I want to say to you, if you haven't made that eternal decision this morning, then I want to open up this altar for you. I want you to take the opportunity to find somebody you got confidence in, ask them to pray for you. But don't you leave this building this morning, but what you don't stop and ask Jesus to move inside of your heart. I don't care how long you've believed this message. I don't care if your mommy and daddy and great, great, great grandfather walk with Brother Branham. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you'll go to hell. Jesus said you must be born again. Let's pray together. Father, how true it is. How true it is what you've said this morning. Frankly, Lord, I believe it. I believe what you've said. When I look at the things that I've read to your children this morning, Lord, it sobers me quite a bit. Because in my travels, I realize thoroughly how many people are going to miss this when it comes to the bitter end. It saddens me, Lord, to think of people that hold on to such doctrines, that hold on to such horrible things, and they don't realize, sitting in some old dead church somewhere, holding on to some old idea from way on years ago when the Lord, you've moved us way on up past that. It hurts my heart for people of this message. But I also realize that I believe in predestination. And only those that you've ordained to hear it will truly hear it in the first place. Lord, if there be a one under the sound of my voice this morning that don't know you and the power of your resurrection, that don't know you by way of new birth, just because they come to this church doesn't mean nothing. Satan was in this church this morning too. I know because he was talking to me in the back room. That doesn't make the devil saved because he entered the doors this morning. We must have a personal relationship. You told us, ye must be born again. If there be one here today, Lord, that don't know you that way, I pray that you'd take what's been sown today, move on their heart, and allow them, Lord, to open up their heart, their subconscious, their life, to throw open every door and say, Lord, come into my heart today. Make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Great potter, put us on your wheel today. Mold us and shape us as your children. Take us into your hands, Lord, as clay. God, may you just move away all the doubts and frustrations. I know it's so hard on the people of the last day. So much has transpired. So much has occurred. It's made us skittish. It's made us suspicious as people. We're all time watching for all the bad, all the negative. God, somehow, I pray that you would reverse that type of thinking in our minds and help us to focus upon you coming at any moment, at any hour. Let us work while it's day, Lord. In the name of Jesus. While your heads are bowed this morning now, every head bow now, please, every eye closed. If you're a sinner in this building this morning and you don't have God, I'm not talking about a book, friend. I'm talking about God. I want you to raise your hand to the Lord today and say, God, I'm a sinner and I need old-fashioned gospel salvation. God bless that hand. You, sir, I see you. You, young man, you back there. God bless every hand that's going up. God bless you. I see you back there. You too. Be another one this morning. Say, Brother Ben, I do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I need salvation this morning. You say, oh, but Brother Ben, I go to a message church. That might be true, sister dear, but if you're still painting your face and cutting your hair, you don't even have salvation yet. Brother, if you can't keep your eyes in your head and you can't treat people right and you've got bitterness and malice, you ain't there yet. Don't kid yourself into thinking you can take all that hatred and bitterness to heaven with you. You can't do it. God will allow nothing filthy to come into His kingdom. But there be one more this morning that say, Brother Ben, I want to be saved. Put your hand up before the Lord if you would. God bless you, I see you. More importantly, Jesus sees you. Friends, several hands went up this morning. As some of you believers, I want you to take the hand of somebody there next to you. Let's offer a word of prayer one for another, can we? And you that raised your hand, whoever takes you by the hand, you just remember that's a chain around this building. And somewhere there's a member of God's body that's got its hand on you. You say, Brother Ben, does it mean anything to raise my hand? Sure. Put that hand up there and mean business with God and see if God won't mean business with you. Hallelujah. I just feel Him moving right now at this very moment. Let's all pray together. Everybody help me now. Father, we feel Your presence all around the room. We believe that it's the old-fashioned way, the gospel way. This new age of intellect isn't going to birth these hands that went up. The intellect of reading a book is not going to produce salvation in the hearts of those hands that went up. The only thing that can move all that old doubt and all that old frustration away is the great presence of God that moved them to raise their hand in the first place. So I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, while hands are laid one upon another, somewhere there's an eagle striking that contact. You said in Your word, if any two or three would agree on earth touching any one thing, that it be done on the earth as it was in heaven. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I submit these people to Your hands. I ask You to take their souls and their hearts into Your hands, Lord. May You anoint their faith today. May You move all the doubts and superstitions of life away. May You move all the fears and frustrations away. That's it. May the Holy Spirit, I pray, drop on that soul right now. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, may good old-fashioned salvation be found in the heart of those children this morning. May the power of Almighty God, Satan, You've tried to hold them, but I adjure You in the name of Jesus. You tried to keep them from this good old-fashioned salvation. The prophet said there was a black cloud that hung up there, but the Word cast it away. And so by the authority of the Holy Spirit, I cast them old demons of doubt away. I cast them old shadows of doubt away on the authority of the Word of God. I condemn Satan. Come away from him, Satan. Take your hands off him, you lying devil. May the Spirit of God move now and cause their hearts to receive conversion. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody now with your hands raised, let's thank Him for it. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. That's it, friends. The Holy Spirit's moving now. Just move right on up into it. Just accelerate right up into that anointing. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. We praise You this morning, Jesus. We give You glory this morning, Jesus. We worship You this morning, Holy Ghost. We give You praise, Almighty Father. We give You glory this morning. We worship You, Lord. We give You thanksgiving in the house of God. We give You praise from our mouth. We raise our hands. We raise our mouth. We raise our lips to You, Jesus. We praise You, Lord. We thank You, Father. We glorify You. Thank You for Your old time salvation. Thank You for the Holy Ghost. Thank You for the revelation. Thank You for the Word. Thank You for the anointing. Thank You for breaking the yoke. Thank You for breaking the fetters. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, Lord, don't let that day overtake us, Jesus. Come, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Ben, what do I do now? If you had your hand raised, you just start thanking him for it. Use him positive affirmations. I am saved now. I accept it by the blood. Jesus has forgiven me. Jesus has washed me. I am his son. I am going to heaven. He will put his seal on my soul. Come on, somebody. Come on, right now is the time to put them positive affirmations to work. Say, I will make it. I am his son. I will go in the rapture. He loves me. He died for me. He wants to save me. He wants to love me, and I love him as well. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I am his child. I am his child. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Lily of the valley.
Boy, that's a good if I've ever heard it.
Let your sweet aroma fill my life. Roses share and show me how to grow in beauty. God's side.
Let everyone in this building say, Lord, I want to grow in your beauty.
Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Oh, day stars shine down.
Jesus.
Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open the by the year.
bless His name again. Listen closely. Hear Him call. Hear Him call. Hear Jesus call. Don't you love Him with all your heart? It's certainly been good to be with you, friends. The only problem I have with these meetings, they are way, way too short. Turn around and it's Sunday morning, we're almost done with the meeting. And I think, Lord, that just went by way too quickly. I certainly wish the Lord would just give us 10 weeks of this, just like this, you know. Just take this word and just go over and over and over again. You know, you get an atmosphere like this, you don't want to leave it, do you? Amen. You love to stay in it. I love you, friends. I always ask this everywhere I go. I travel all kinds of different places. Some people like me, some people not so much. Now, I've got a pretty heavy load on the field out there sometimes. And everywhere I go, I have yet to ask it of this church. But I ask folks, will you pray for me? Now, could I ask you to do me a favor? The ones that will pray for me, will you show me your hand today? God bless you. Now what I'm going to do, when the devil comes by and says, you might as well forget it. Nobody's praying for you. I just took a mental picture of your hand. And I know that God will help me. I love you. May the Lord ever bless you. And I don't know when we get to meet together again. I hope it's very, very, very soon. But even greater than soon, I hope it's over there quickly. God bless you. I love you. Sing something, buddy, as you're dismissed today.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Close.
Thank you.